Yeah, we're looking at the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe. And again, Gid Hanoshe is quite intricate lungus here, but just to go over a few basic points. A Gid Hanoshe is Asr Biachila, of course. You're not allowed to eat the Gid Hanoshe. It's a Loi Sasa. Al Kain Lo Yaychlu B'nei Yisrael is Gid Hanoshe. The question is it Asr Bahana? Right? Am I allowed to sell it to a goy? Am I allowed to feed it to my animals? Right? Certain halachas, certain isurim, are asur biachila and mutur bahana. An example is nevela, meat that was not shechted, trefa. So the Torah says b'feirush, you can sell it to a goy or throw it to the dogs. Other things like orla, the fruit of the first 3 years, they are not only asur biachila, they are also asur bahana. Chametz is the most common example. Chametz is not only asur biachila, asur bahana. Basur b'chalav d'araisa. Now by d'araisa I mean you actually cook meat and milk. Basur b'chalav d'araisa, as opposed to basur reif, is asur bahana, right? So we have a general category. Some things are asur biachila, mutur bahana. Some things are asur bahana. One of the big nafkaminas is something that's only asur biachila, you could be mekadesh anisha with, because you're giving the woman shavius, because, right, if I give her a piece of nevela, she could sell it and get money for it, right? So it's considered to be a sheva pruta. If you're mekadesh with a suri hana, it's not a kedushin, because there's nothing she can do with it, it's not considered to be a sheva pruta. So the question is gid hanoshe Asr Bahana or only Asr Biachila? Now you might say, well, what's the question? Well, look at the lashon of the pasuk. The pasuk says, Al Kain Lo Yaychlu B'nei Yisrael Es Gid Hanoshe. The Yidden don't need the Gid Hanoshe, right? So you think, Achila, not Hana. So the problem is like this. In the Gemara in Kol Shon Pesachim, maybe you learned this Gemara, the Gemara quotes a statement of B'Shem Tanid Vechizkiah. And the Rambam, we actually paskin like this statement that says, that the derech klal, whenever the Torah says don't eat leisaycha, whenever it says leisaycha, you normally interpret that to mean both achila and hana, ad sheifarat lecha hakosuv only achila. And the raya is from nevela, because the Torah says leisaycha kol nevela, don't eat nevela, but you can sell it to a goy. Now, l'chaira, why does the Torah have to say you can sell it to a guy? If not eating means not eating, but it's mutra bahana, I would automatically know you can sell it to a guy. The fact, right, here's methodology, the fact that after the Torah said don't eat, the Torah then has to tell me you can sell it to a guy, mutra bahana, it's dachmashma, that the word don't eat, or the phrase don't eat, standing alone, would in fact be kailel iser hana. Yeah? So, a bazai, according to Tanu Devei Chizkia, the mashmais of don't eat get hanasha would actually mean asur bahana. But the Gemara asks Akasha, so how can I say it's asur bahana? Aus Tanu Devei Chizkia, l'chaira, the Mishnah, the Gemara asks Akasha in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Chulen, that if I have a Gid Hanoshe, I can give it to a guy or sell it to a guy. It's a stira. So here's what the Gemara says. This is a bit of a complicated teretz. There is a general machlekes about Gidin. And when I say Gidin, I don't just mean Gid Hanoshe. I mean any sinewy, like nerve tissue, nerves. Any nerve. There are kosher nerves and treif nerves. The Gid Hanoshe is a treif nerve, and then you have kosher nerves. That nerves don't have any taste. They're like eating a piece of wood. They don't have a din of tongue. That's one shita. That's called Ein Begidin. Gidin do not have the status of Tam Basor. That's called Ein Begidin B'naisen Tam. There's another Mandiyamar that says Yesh Begidin B'naisen Tam. What's the nafkamina in the machlagis? I'll give you a few nafkaminas. Let's take a non-kosher animal like a chazer. If I eat the gid, and I don't mean gid anasha, forget about gid anasha. If I eat a gid from a piece of chazer, am I over on eating chazer? Doraisa at least. So if I hold Ein Begidin B'nai Seintam, I didn't do anything. It's like chewing a piece of wood. It's like chewing a stick. If I hold Yesh Begidin B'nai Seintam, I might. Right? So are the Gidim of a Chazer Usher, Doraisa? If I hold Ein Begidin B'nai Seintam, it's Mutra Doraisa. Ah, you might ask Akasha. So if Ein Begidin B'nai Seintam, how could you ever be Chayav for Gid Hanasha? You're just chewing a piece of wood. So the Gemara says, obviously Gid Hanasha is an exception, that the Torah says, even though it's a piece of wood, you're not allowed to chew it. But it's not Basar. It's a piece of wood that the Torah says you're not allowed to chew. So Gid Hanasha Gufa is going to have a lav, but no other Isser is going to be Chal on it. That's why we Paskin, for example, the Mishnah says in Chulin, that if you eat the Gid Hanasha of a Behemah Tameya, you're not over on anything. Why? You're not over on Behemah Tameya because Ein Begidin B'nai Seintam. Aye, so let me be over on the lav of Gid Hanasha. The Gemara has a drasha that on Tameya, you're not over on Gid Hanasha because the Mashmos of Gid Hanasha is where the Basar is Mutcher, that's when the Gid is Usher. But where the Basar is Usher, there's no special Isser on the Gid. Okay? So you understand this. In other words, if I eat the Gid Hanasha of a non-kosher animal, I am neither over on the lav of Gid Hanasha, nor am I over on the lav of eating a Behemah Tumeya. But the reason for that is, there are two different reasons. I'm not over on the lav of eating a Behemah Tumeya, because we hold Ein Begidin B'no Seintam. Okay, that's not called Basar, it's like a piece of wood. Now that reason is not a good reason for Gid Hanasha itself, because Gid Hanasha applies even though it is a piece of wood, but I'm not over on Gid Hanasha for another reason, and that is a drasha that Gid Hanasha is Chal only where the Basar is Mutter, and then the Gid becomes Usser. But where the Basar is Usser, there's no Chalais of Gid Hanasha. Now this is true only like the Ma'ariv Amar that says, Ein Begidin B'nai Seintam, which is how we Paskin. Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, both Paskin, Ein Begidin B'nai Seintam. But there is a Mandi Amar that holds Yesh Begidin B'nai Seintam. So according to him, if you eat the Gid Hanasha of a Behemah Tameya, you will be over on one lav. The one lav you'll be over on is Tameya. Eating Gid Hanasha, or any Gid, is like eating meat. You're still not going to be over on Gid Hanasha, because that drasha, that the meat has to be mutter, that's still true, okay? So the nafkamina in the machlokas of Yesh Begidin B'nai Seintam or Ein Begidin B'nai Seintam is, if I eat a Gid, lav dafki Gid Hanasha, if I eat any Gid from Behemah Tameya, any Gid, even a Gid that's not Gid Hanasha, would I get malchus for Behemah Tameya? Okay. So now let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara wants to know, the Gemara has a kasha. Tanya de Bechizkiya says a rule that whenever the Torah says achila, and it doesn't match, whenever the Torah says don't eat, and it doesn't explicitly match your hana, hana is nichlal in the Isser achila. Yeah. A bazai, by Gid Hanasha, it should be Asur Bahana. And if it's Asur Bahana, why does the Mishnah in Chulin say I could sell it to a guy? Right, that's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara's answer is the following. The Torah says one thing, Beferish is Mutra Bahana. What is Beferish Nevela? The Torah says a dead carcass of an animal you can give to a guy. Or sell to a guy, right? So the Gemara reasons the following. This is a very ingenious answer. In this carcass, there is not only meat, there's also a Gid Hanasha. So if the Torah says, I can give the nevela to, not get, I mean give, sell. I can sell the nevela to a guy, it is including allowing me to sell the Gid Hanasha to the guy. Therefore, the Gemara says, how do I know Gid Hanasha is Mutcher Bahana? Because it is nichlal in the heter of a nevela. Kishahutra nevela, hutra gita. But then the Gemara says the following. That only fits if you hold Yesh Begidin B'nai Seimtam. Because the Torah basically says, don't eat the nevela, but give it to a, sell it to a goy. So the Torah is talking about the edible parts of the nevela. That which you might want to eat, sell to a goy. So if I hold Gidin, have a din of Basar, I could say that it includes the Gid. But if I say Gidin don't have a din of Basar, and they're like a piece of wood, then the Torah is not talking about that part of the animal. Eibazai, how do you know that it's Mutra Bahana? You can't compare it in the Nevela Pasuk. So the Gemara Taka says the following. The Gemara Taka says, you're right. The Mishnah that Matir's Gid Hanasha Bahana is following the Mandiyamar Yesh Begidim B'nai Seimtam. But if you hold Ein Begidin B'nai Seimtam, it's not included in the Heter of Nevela, because Nevela is referring to edible portions of the animal, and the Gid is not an edible portion. So with this, the Minchas Chinuch asks, this is kind of the classic type of kasha in the Rambam's Pesukim, right? This is a classic kasha that you have quite often. That is, the Rambam paskins two halachas that seem to be in contradiction based on the shakl of the Tarya of the Gemara in Chulin. The Rambam paskins Ein Begidin B'nai Seimtam. As the Rambam paskins that Gid, any Gid, does not have the taste of meat. It's like a piece of wood. Yeah, Gid Hanasha Yerchaya, because even though it's a piece of wood, the Torah says that piece of wood you're chaya for. But if I eat the Gid of a behemoth Tameya, I'm not over on Tameya, right? Gidin do not have Tam Basar. Okay, that's how we paskin. And yet, the Rambam also paskins, Gid Hanasha is Mutter Bahana. Right, the Rambam paskins, Gid Hanasha is Asher B'Achila, Mutter Bahana. So, Frek de Minchas Chinuch, L'chaira, the Gemara itself says that logically, Gid Hanasha would be Asher Bahana, because it says, Le'saicha, Le'yaichlu. And you only maturit bahana because it's nichlal in the heter of nevela. And then the Gemara goes on and says, I can include it in nevela only if it's an edible thing, because that's what the Torah is talking about. But if ain't begidin b'nai seimtam, it's not edible. And the Gemara Taka says, you're right, you're right. The Mishnah that says, gid hanasha is mutter bahana, is going like the Mandiyamar that gidin are considered meat. But if you hold gidin are not considered meat, gid hanasha is asur bahana. But the Rambam paskins Gidin are not considered meat, and he holds Mutter Bahana. So it's a, so this is a, again, this is actually a common type. If you go over all the stiris in Rambam, so typically this is the structurally the type of problem you have where the Rambam paskins two halachas when, according to the shakla v'tarya of a sugya, if you hold one way, you have to come out the opposite in the other end. And the Rambam is following both halachas. Yeah.
There's always something you can come out and somehow say that there's different. There's, one is actually just the gid itself, one's with the fat around the gid. Is there any doubt like that? Or,
well, it's in the Rambam, it's almost impossible to say, because the Rambam says the gid is. It's true that the shuman around the gid is also usher, but the Rambam matters the gid bahana, and the gid mantras should be. Yeah. So one of the klalim that achrayim say, although you have to, it's very hard to understand it even, is they want to say that the Rambam had a rule in Psak to follow a Stam Mishnah, even if according to the Shakta Vitaria of the Gemara, it would be Shalom Ali B'dehilchus. Remember, there's a Stam Mishnah in Chulin that says you can sell a Gid Hanasha to a Goy. Now, the Gemara Zetzizayin, that Mishnah, like a Mandiyamar that we don't paskin like. Namely,
like the Gemara itself, right. Paskins that get it, you know, sometimes?
Yeah, the Gemara itself paskins that way. So you're stuck with that psak. But then that's assigned the Stam Mishnah, Shalom Alibi de Hilchasa. They say that the Rambam had a Messiah, maybe from the Gainim. It's not clear exactly where what's his authority to do this. That the Rambam will often paskin like a Stam Mishnah, even if the Gemara Zukimta is that it only goes like Iman Damar Shlomo Dibuch. But again, obviously, what you're essentially saying is the Rambam's arguing with the Gemara. I mean, that's the bottom line, and that's impossible. So it's hard to understand exactly what that klal means, unless the Rambam holds maybe on other sugyas. You know, it's not clear. I mean, sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes we have tshuvas from the Rambam himself. And it's fascinating where people ask the Rambam these stiras, and we actually have the Rambam himself answering the stiras. And what's fascinating is the Rambam usually doesn't answer with lamda shechilukim. A typical teretz of the Rambam would be, you're right, the Gemara in Chulin is mashma this way, but I have a mashmos from another Gemara. In other words, as opposed to trying to emphasize the Gemara, the Rambam will commonly say it's a machlekes hasugis. Which is an interesting netiyah. You know, one of the Jerachim of the Balei HaTosfos, and this is a distinctive approach of Balei HaTosfos, is to try to fe'emfer stiris, that when one Gemara is mashma this way, one Gemara is mashma this way, you want to give chilukim that makes everything fit. But among the Rishayim of Sfarad, in Spain, there was much more of a netiyah to acknowledge that when Rav Ashi was Masader the Shas, he was Masader different maskanas and different sugyas based on different shitas. And therefore, now Taisus sometimes also says machlekes hasugyas. Sometimes. But Taisus only says it as a very last resort. The shita of Taisus is to try to fe'emfer all contradictions. The Rambam's Mahalach is often to say, that's that Gemara, I follow that Gemara. Which is a different Mahalach. So, be it as it may, the kasha is a very strong and interesting kasha of Yesh Begidin B'nai Saint Tam, but the halacha is like the Rambam. In spite of the lumdus, the halacha is like the Rambam, that we paskin, Gid Hanoshe is mutter Bahana. Okay. Now, yeah.
Didn't we say that the Gid Hanoshe is only Chal? This is only Chal in meat, which is mutter to eat?
Yeah.
The novella?
Okay, I'm going to react to that. It's only chal on a min, a species of min. I'm going to talk about nevela in a second. Yeah. Now, like we just said, right, one thing we know from the Gemara Beferish, that Gid Hanasha, the Isra of Gid Hanasha does not apply to a behemoth tmeya, right? A chazer, a horse, whatever it is, they also have a Gid Hanasha. It's not usher else Gid Hanasha, and because of Ein Begidin B'nai Saint Tam, it's not even usher else meat. Even though midrabanan, you don't eat it. What about the gid hanasha of a nevela and the gid hanasha of a trefa? Now there you're also not allowed to eat the meat, but the halacha is very, very clear in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch, that gid hanasha shel nevela v'shel trefa is usher. Because when the Torah says the meat has to be mutter in order for the gid hanasha to be usher, the Torah doesn't mean the meat actually has to be mutter, but it means the meat has to be of a species that you would have been permitted to eat had it been properly shechted. So as long as it's a min of behema tahora, Gid Hanasha is knowing. By the way, let me give you an example of an exact same halacha by Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos can only be written on the or, on the hide, of a behema tahira. If you write a Sefer Torah, or Tefillin, on the hide of a behema tameya, the Sefer Torah is pasul, Tefillin or pasul. How do we darshan this? Because it says in the Parsha of Tefillin, it says, Alaman tia tairas Hashem bepicha, that the Torah of Hashem has to be in your mouth. So we actually have a literal drasha, that the Torah has to be, min amutjer bepicha, something you can put in your mouth. And yet, the halacha is, you can write a Sefer Torah on the hide of a nevela or a trefa. Because even though lemaisa you can't put it in your mouth, it's a min that is mutter b'pichah. So it's mamish the same thing. The same getter that we have for Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, that it's totally on the min, we have by Gid Hanasha as well. Right? This is very, very good. By the way, you can even write a Sefer Torah on the skin of a chicken. Well, with the Torah scroll, you're probably, well, okay, whatever. Although it's not done, nobody ever does it, but the ore of a bird is also kosher for ksivas, Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. Yeah.
The skin of a pig could be kosher to eat.
So the skin of a pig might not be kosher to eat. That's correct, because it's going on the min. The skin must be from a min that is much of a picha. Okay, so now here's another very, very stark question to ask, and that is the following. Okay, let's say I eat the gid hanosha of a behema tmeya. So we already said before, I actually get no malchus at all. I'm not over on gid hanosha, because the min is a behema tmeya, and I'm not over on eating the meat of a behema tmeya, because we paskin generally ein begidin beno same time, so it doesn't have the taste of meat. Right? So you're not over on anything at all. Now, based on that logic, what would be the halacha if I ate the gid hanosha of a nevela or a trefa? Based on that logic, I will get malchus for gid hanasha, because even though ein begidin b'naisin tam, but that's the piece of wood the Torah says you can't eat. But l'chaira, I shouldn't get malchus for eating nevela or trefa. In other words, I wouldn't get two malchus, I'd only get one malchus. Because the same way, by a tmeya, als ein begidin b'naisin tam, I'm not over on eating the meat of a tmeya, so by the same token, yeah, I'm not over on eating the meat of a nevela. I'm only over on Gidanasha. But the problem is, the Rambam Paskins, again, another problem. If I eat the Gid Hanasha of a Nevela or a Trefa, Zakta Rambam, I get two Malkus. I get Malkus for the Aveira of Gid Hanasha, and I get Malkus for the Aveira of eating a piece of Nevela or a trefa. Now, l'chaira, if the Rambam paskins, if I eat the gid hanasha of a tmeya, I get zero malchus, because ain begidin b'nai same time. Right? If the Rambam paskins that way, if I eat the gid hanasha of a nevela or a trefa, I should only get malchus for gid hanasha. I shouldn't get malchus for nevela or trefa. Right? So there's a stira here. Yesh begidin b'nai same time or ain begidin b'nai same time. So here, the Midrash Chinuch brings, let me see if he brings it for Sharon Melech in a second. Yeah, this is the Kesef Mishnah special, right? So I'm just reading the Kesef Mishnah, Tama B'Shem HaRashba. Right? The Kesef Mishnah asks Akasha in the name of the Rashba, Kivan Dien Begidin B'nai Sein Tam, if Gidin do not have the taste of meat, Im Kain, if so, Nehi dechayev mishum gid. All right, I'm going to get malchus for eating gid hanasha, because that's the piece of wood that the Torah assert to have gezeres hakasef. Aval eich yischayev al nevela utrefa. How could I get malchus for eating nevela utrefa? Eichel migidin pacher. If I eat gidin, I should be pacher for malchus. Kaniru miashas peites amid beis. V'divrei haRambam seisha, and the Rambam himself is inconsistent. If I eat a behema tmeya, I'm patur legamri, not only from gid hanasha, but from the lav of tmeya, the ein begidin b'nei same tam, u'benevela yischayev gamishum nevela, ayin achreinim, kresi uplesi, sharam melech sham. So Minchas Chinuch doesn't give you the whole territory, but he refers you to the kresi uplesi, which is of course from Yannis and Apshitz, that's the Urim v'Tumim. Okay, and the Shar HaMelech is also one of the great Svarim on the Rambam. But the teretz they give is an interesting teretz. And they say the following. They say that even though it's true that normally eating any gid, is not called eating basar, but when you eat the gid hanasha, there's a gezeira sakosuv that the Torah is machshivit as a maisa achila. Logically, it's not an achila. Logically, a gid is a piece of wood. But if the Torah says you get malchus for eating gid anasha, The Torah is conferring on this piece of wood only the status of a Maisa Achila. So Zak Deshar HaMelech, once the Torah confers on this piece of wood the status of meat, of Achila, for Gid HaNasha purposes, it has acquired the status of meat for all purposes. So this is the Nafkamina. When I eat a Tameya, there's no issue of Gid HaNasha. So I have to just look at it intrinsically. Is it a piece of meat? Is it not a piece of meat? A Gid is not a piece of meat, so I'm not Chayef. But when I eat the Gid HaNasha of Nevela, since with respect to Gid HaNasha, the Torah has characterized this piece of wood as a shtickle meat, achila. So with respect to this piece of meat, once it is endowed with the status of Michael, of Eichel, it will be an Eichel even with respect to every other Isser that's connected to it, including the veil and favor. So here it comes out the following. If I have a Nevela, and I eat any other gid, if I eat a gid of a Nevela, I'm not going to get Malkus. A gid is not a piece of meat. But if I eat the gid hanosha shel Nevela, then I'll get Malkus even for Nevela, because ha-Torah achshavei li'achila. The Torah took a piece of wood, which is normally not considered a food, and the Torah gave it the status of an eichel for purposes of gid hanosha. So we don't say palgin and dibura, so to speak. Once it was given the chashivas of an eichel, it's called an eichel vis-a-vis every other iser that will be chal on it. And therefore the crazy of placing the Shara Melech say that if I eat the gid of a temeya, enochinami, I don't get malchus for temeya. And if I eat another gid, not the gid anasha from an avelu trefa, I'm also not going to get malchus. But if I eat the Gid HaNasha, I get Malkus not only for Gid HaNasha, I get Malkus even for Nevela Trev. Right? This is called a Svar of Achshavah.
Are we saying that the Gid becomes an actual piece of Nevela, or are we saying it has no Sintami in respect to
Nevela? No, it becomes an actual piece. Once the Torah considers it edible basar for purposes of Gid HaNasha, it has now been recalibrated, recharacterized as a shtick busser, so it'll be a shtick busser legabi everything. In other words, the contra swara would be, in other words, you could learn two ways. You could learn, in fact, the lashon of Chazal actually isn't the way the Shaar HaMelech says it. That's the thing. Chazal says eitzu, it's a piece of wood, but Torah chayva alav. So if you learn the pshat is, it's not meat, it's a piece of wood. But the Torah is mechayev for chewing a piece of wood, then that wouldn't translate into making mechayev for nevela. But the Shaar HaMelech is learning a little differently. Even though it is a piece of wood, the gezeiras hakosuv is we treat it like a food. Once you touch up, that is what the gezeiras hakosuv is doing. Then it's shayach to say, once it's a food, so l'gabi nevela it's a food as well. So it depends how you learn the Gemara. In other words, is the gezeiras hakosuv that it's not a food, but you're chayav for chewing a stick? Or is it the pshat, the Torah says, we reckon it as an eichel for gid hanasha, and memela it's an eichel for everything. So the Shaar HaMelech and the Krasi learn the second way, or at least they learn this way in the Rambam, right? This is miyashiv the Rambam, right? Because that's our problem. Because the Rambam says, if you eat the gid hanasha of Nevelu Trefa, you're Chayef Shtayim, even though the Rambam paskins that by Tzmeya, you're not Chayef. So Zakter, that the Rambam will subscribe to the aside of Achshavei Rachamana Liachila. Okay, this is the Teretz there. Yeah.
Maybe it's a very elementary question, but it's struck me in a funny way.
Yeah.
If you want to say that Melezi Echila has to be, Echila, would Echila be the matter of ingesting? You ingest something, whether it has to be, it doesn't have Tom. But if it's trade, what does, I mean, I understand it doesn't have, it's not the same time, so you can't be possibly else, but in
the... Well, the problem is this, the problem is though, there's a meaning of achila, and achila does require the notion of time. In fact, we pass them this way. If you have pieces of meat that are so spoiled that they're not edible, or yavesh kiyetz, there actually is a prison. In fact, this was the issue of gelatin, actually. This was the halachic issue.
From
many, many years, that gelatin is made from bones, and in its pure state, it would just be bone without any meat. So there were many hashgachas in the United States that considered, even if the animals were nevelos shetreifos, if it was just dry bone, they said that it was mutra. That's why a lot of there are some hashgachas in America that still rely upon it. Rav Chaim Eiser had a tshuva to matzah, but basically Rav Moshe and other poskim were against it, not because of the principle, but because they said that lamaisa, the bones are not so dry, there's still some residue and the like. But a purely dry bone, if the marrow was removed from it, there is no issue to chew on a bone. That's a piece of wood. You can chew a treif bone. It's not, if for whatever reason. So there is that principle. There has to be time. There has to be some time.
How does the Torah turn it into
a filo then? Because, in other words, the chalos shem of Gid Hanasha is a gzeiros hakasav, no question about it. But the question is, what is the gzeiros hakasav being megala? Is the Torah saying we regard it as an eichel even though there's no tam? Or is the Torah saying you're chayav even though it's not an eichel? So if I would learn you're chayav even though it's not an eichel, then Enochinami, that's not transferable to Nevelu Trefa. But if the pshat is, we make it an Eichel, even though there's no Tam, so good, once it's an Eichel, it's a shame Eichel for everything.
Are you saying it's Tam, that the Ochel has to have Tam, or the Maisa Achila has to be something with Tam in it? Or it's like someone swallows a piece of meat that has Tam, but doesn't taste it, just shoots it down his throat.
Well, it's actually both. They're actually two different halachas, but it's true that without tam, it's not a maisa achila. So, for example, if you wrapped up some treif in a piece of paper and you swallowed it, you would not get malchus. That's the din of shelo kederech achila.
Okay.
Then there's another din, if it's spoiled, then it's not roi. Right? In other words, there is a din both in the cheftza and in the maisa.
Right, so I know the cheftza itself, but the achila didn't.
No, even in the maisa, the halakha, I mean, that's really the hetcher of swallowing pills. In other words, there is a rule that even if it's a chefza that has taste, if you swallow it without tasting it, you wrap it up in a piece of paper.
So in this case,
if I wrap up a piece of chazer in a piece of paper, even though the chazer is perfectly edible and has taste, but I'm not margish it, so I wouldn't be able.
Are we differentiating that over here? It's not really
really
one or the other.
Here we're not differentiating, because either way, you have both problems here.
Even though by brachas we say, like, if there's nutritional value or whatever it is, that's also considered.
That's called it may really be called a hanaa that you're doing through the process of achilas. So you're chayv bracha asher lahenais mina elam hazal b'li bracha. So that's nichlal in hanaa. But on a davar that's mutter b'hanaa, normally asher b'achila, tag, it wouldn't be called an achila. It's not called an achila. It's not called an achila proper. Okay, yeah.
Why don't we say actually, if a person decides, I would like to eat this kid from the payment man?
Yes, the question is, why don't you say that the person is machshavit? You actually have such a svara by chametz. That's actually a problem. Now, the halacha is that chametz that is inedible by a dog before the zman of isur chametz, chametz shenifsal miachilas kelev, you're allowed to keep on Pesach because it's not considered chametz if a dog wouldn't eat it. You can even use it. Now the question is, are you allowed to eat it? So the Rush says, you're not allowed to eat it, because even though it's not edible by a dog, if you are eating it, you are machshiv it as an ochel, and therefore it's no longer called inedible if you're eating it. That's called achshavei. That's, and we paskin that way.
Well, that's into the bill now.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the whole deal among the poskim, where they say, well, maybe achshavei is only if you're eating it, not if you're taking the pill. Many opinions do matter. In other words, the heter of chametz dikur medicines on Pesach is totally on this machlekes, and that is, on one hand, the ingredients are usually very, very bitter. If you were to taste the ingredients on your tongue, they would be bitter, and the average dog Fido is not gonna eat the pill. So the pill is nifsal miachilas kelef. Problem is, you're putting it in your mouth. Is it achshavei? But the poskim who matur say that when you're taking a derech refuah, you're not machshiv it as an ochel, and you would be allowed to. So the poskim who matur will matur it based on that. Our minog is to be machmer. Our minog is not to ingest chametz sticka pills. But the thing is, ruba de ruba of Pesach medicines that are chametz stick are kidneyos. They're not. There are very, very few medicines that have chametz in them. And kidneyos is not even an issur d'rabbanan. It's a Ashkenazic minog. So we'll make a lot for that. Kidneyos l'refuah is much. But your question is exactly the question. Machlekes ha'paiskim. Do you say achshave when it's taken as a pill? But be it as it may, Yishe's kasha is still a good kasha, and that is, so you see there's such a thing as subjective achshave. I take something that's not edible by a dog, and if I want to eat it, you know, I elevate it to an eichel. So the question is, the whole din of ein begidin b'nei sintam is problematical, because you're telling me, if a guy chews, like some guys like to chew bones, if a guy chews the gid, he's not chayef for behemoth mea, let's say, behemoth mea, because it's not an eichel, and only by gid hanasha do we say he's chayef because of achshave and the like. So the question is, why don't I say the fact that I'm eating it means I'm machshavet as an eichel? In other words, why is it different? Let it be mamish the same as chametz. That's a good kasha. That's a good kasha. I mean, l'chayra, by chametz, you're telling me if I eat it, I'm machshiv it. And here you're telling me if I eat the gid, not the gid, if I eat a gid, not the gid anasha. It's not called an eichel because it doesn't have time. I have to think about that. Why? Obviously, chametz were machmir more than other things, but the question is, in Svara, what would be the getter? Unless maybe the Rosh is, I have to see if the Rosh is din is drabbanan. It might be a chumash drabbanan. It might be on the Doraisa level. I would never say, there's a Svara bakla daita, I would never say that your idiosyncrasy can elevate it. It could be the Rosh might be a midrabbanan, but I'll check on it. It is a good kasha. Okay. So we talked about two things. We talked about the Yisr Hana'a, and we talked about the chiluk between Behema Tmeya and the Velu Trefa. That those were our two inyanim. So now there's a third inyan that's actually very interesting and actually quite complicated. I just want to begin a little akdama here. And that is the status of what is called a Ben Pakua. What is a ben pakua? Ben pakua is when you shecht a cow or an animal. So sometimes the animal is pregnant, and in the animal is a vlad. And the vlad might still be alive. Maybe it's dead, maybe it's alive. So the halacha of ben pakua says that a vlad inside of the mother is nitar b'shchitas ha'ein, which means you don't have to shecht this cow. You can't eat the calf when it's still alive, but you can kill the calf with a gunshot or any way you want, because in terms of the mitzvah of shechita, it is nitar b'shechita sa'im. Right? A ben pakua is nitar b'shechita sa'im. Now, the Gemara says a very amazing thing that's not at all intuitive. You wouldn't have thought this misvara. The pashtus of ben pakua is, right, how would you understand it? The simplest way of understanding it is that when the uber is in the mother's womb, it's like part of the mother. So the same way, when I shecht the mother, right, I shecht the neck, but I'm allowed to eat the leg, because every part of the mother is nitar b'shchita, so too, the vlad is part of the mother, it's nitar b'shchita. That's how you learn the pashtus. The shchita of the mother is piled on the vlad, because the vlad is part of the mother. But according to that svara, you would think that any part of the animal that you couldn't eat of the mother, in other words, like this, chalev, right? You're not allowed to eat chalev. Could I eat the chalev of a ben pakua? So you would actually say, no, under what logic? Even if I reckon the ben pakua as a shechted animal, I can't eat the chalev of a shechted animal. I can't eat the dam of a shechted animal. Why should I be able to eat the chalev or the dam of a ben pakua? Right, that would be the pashtus. In other words, when we say the ben pakua is mutter, we mean the parts of an animal you can eat after shechita are mutter with shechita sa'in. Right, that's the pashtus of it. And yet, the Gemara in Chulin says an amazing thing. The Gemara in Chulin says that if you shecht the mother, every part of the ben pakua is mutter, including the chalev, including the dam, and including the gid hanasha. And it does this from a drasha. It's not a svara. The svara that the ben pakua is part of the mother would only matter what any shechita matters. So a svara is not going to help you here. But it's a gzeiras hakosef that it says if an animal has simanim, so it says bi behema tochelu, in the animal you can eat. Now that could be translated as eating from the animal, but Chazal have a drasha. Bi behema means the animal that is in the animal can be totally eaten. Meaning kol shebi behema, any animal that is in the animal can be eaten when the mother is shechted. What's the svara? I can't honestly give you a svara because I don't know in any lumdisha way how to be masber such a heter, because after all, the mother's shechita avada doesn't matter the chalev, the dam, and the gin. And if I would shech the vlad, it would be the same thing. So why should the shechita on the mother be pile on the vlad a greater dispensation than if I gufa shechted the vlad? That's difficult to understand, Tanda.
What about Abram and Achai? Huh? Why is Abram and Achai still lost then? Is that more external?
That's Midrabanan, actually. That's Midrabanan. That's Midrabanan. Even Abram and Achai is going to be much.
Was it what?
It's Samar Sinai.
What about everything else? Someone's going to see you eating the Gid
Hanasha. Gid Hanasha is not so nicker. I mean, Abram and Achai were cutting off.
And Tom.
There might be Yisuri Drabanan. I'm referring to the Daraisa. Daraisa says everything is mutter. So this is again. This is a drasha. Bi behema techelu. Kol shebi behema. Any animal that's in the animal techelu, you may eat. Yeah.
We see that when it's in the mother. So it's a limb of the mother.
Yes. Yes.
And so, what part of the mother is Asher is going to be the give of the mother? But this now it's not a, its own animal anymore. It's just it was a limb of the mother. It's like a new limb. And now this new limb is not going to.
What you're saying is actually a possible svar for gid. I actually see what you're saying because it's not the gid hanasha of the mother.
And,
but l'chayre chaylev is a little difficult because even if you consider it a new limb,
but what chaylev is going to be? It's not going to be the chaylev of the organs of the mother. Again, it's a new organ.
Okay, I hear. What about blood? What about dam? I think so. Dam is I hear what you're saying. In other words,
but
his taina has a certain svara here because gid and chaylev are location based. Isurim, right? Chalev, the Torah specifies places where the chalev is. Now, even though it's true on this little animal, the chalev is in the place where chalev is, but vis-a-vis the mother of which this animal is called a limb, the chalev is not in that part of the mother's body. Right? That's his taina. Same thing with Gid Hanasha. Gid Hanasha has a certain location. Now each animal has its own location, but if the vlad is not called a separate animal, then in effect it's like a gid hanasha on the mother's appendix, right? If the gid hanasha would somehow anatomically be on the mother's appendix, presumably, although maybe you need to go into that too, presumably that's not a gid hanasha because that's not the makam, right? So your svara is a good svara. That the only problem would be in a vela, that it wasn't geshachten. So in that I say, since it's part of the mother, the shechita of the mother is pile on the vlad. You have gid and nashe v'chelev. So you're saying no, vis-a-vis the mother, the gid and the chelev are not located where the Torah says the prohibition is chal. I don't see how it's going to work for blood, though, because blood, dam, is not a location-based phenomenon, because blood is usher any place it is in the mother. So if you don the vlad as part of the mother, then the blood in the vlad is still the blood in the mother.
Isn't it only blood that comes out of the mother's meat?
Well, okay, good. But if I
blood will never come out of the mother's meat.
But the vlad is the mother's meat. See. But again, if you're telling me the vlad is a chelik of the mother, then the blood that comes out of the vlad's meat is the blood that comes out of the mother's limb. See, that's the problem. There you have a little bit of a problem.
The whole cow is part of is a piece of meat, and dam shel pir is the whole cow, the whole vod.
Dam shel pir v'shteitzach, dam shel pir is dam shel pir. In other words, when I say the blood is mutter, I mean even if you cook the meat and the blood comes out. I mean v'shteitzach, you're right, and hilchos dam generally, right? You can eat it. I mean, that's generally. Forget about ben pekua. You can eat doraisa for a banana. You can eat a piece of uncooked meat that doesn't have surface blood on it, because even if it wasn't salted, until the blood of the Avarim comes out and then goes back in, it's not usher al stam. Good, so that's true here too. So when I say dam is mutter, I mean if you're mevashel, the blood comes out and the blood comes back in. Yeah.
Joshua of Vehewa Tochelu?
Yeah.
Would that mean that if you shecht it improperly, then the mother becomes a nevela, and then the child is also going to be asur now, even if you shecht it properly?
Yeah, that's the question. The question is, if you did an invalid shechita on the mother, or the mother was a trefa for that matter, would you be able in Svara to be matzil the ben pakua by its own shechita, or do I go with the Svara that it's an aver of the mother? So mamela, there's a chalos shame of nevela and trefa. I'm going to say, I believe the drasha is matzil only the kula, not the churub, and as I believe that you can be misak in the vlad, but I'll check it. Yeah.
Another quote, maybe, if there's bugs inside the mother, and you shecht it, then you couldn't eat them because they're animals inside.
yeah.
Or if the mother is scalded.
No, you're right. Obviously, we don't matter. So we darshan kol b'behema is interpreted to mean that which naturally would be in the animal. There's part of the animal's natural cycle of life. So things that it takes in and the like, the bugs don't become part of the mother. In other words, it's only the natural part of the mother, like pregnancy and the like. So here's the thing, though, by Chalev. The Rambam introduces the following variable. The Rambam says that the din, that when you shecht the mother, let's talk about Chalev first, we'll get to Gid separately. When you shecht the mother, so the vlad is considered geshachten, and you're even allowed to eat the chaylev. Kol kebehema techeilu. The Rambam says that does not apply if the vlad is alive and it has already completed. This is kolu lo chadashev. A live vlad that is kolu lo chadashev. Now, it's still nitr. It's nitr b'shchita. You don't need shchita. It's nitr b'shchita. But we don't apply the gezeira sakosev of kol b'behema techelu to matir the chelev. We don't apply the matir, because the chelev is going to be usur. But the Rambam. Now another thing. When the Rambam talks about kol lo chadashev, the Rambam uses the phrase ben tes. It has already completed 9 months, or at least it's in its ninth month. Now, that lechayra, it's a bit of a tzarechian. Shulchan Aruch also has that lashon. That seems to be a borrowed phrase from human reproduction. A cow doesn't have a 9 month cycle. A cow is like 5 months. So it's talking about a cow. Behem Gass is 9. I don't remember the Gemara. I don't remember. You remember the Gemara says 9 months for him.
The Gemara itself, but it's Rashi.
Okay, I'm gonna have to check. I think today it's not that long, but okay, good. We'll have to see if Chazal had a longer shiur. So what does the Rambam say? But the Rambam says, if it was a ben tes, but it was already dead, or it was less than a ben tes, even if it's alive, then the chaylev is neter. But if it's a ben tes that's alive, the chaylev is usher, but it's still neter, but the animal itself is neter b'shchita shayim. So what's the getter of what's going on? Because Rimanavshech, if you're going to tell me if it's a ben tes that's alive, it's not considered part of the mother anymore because it's already ready to be born, then logically the shechita shouldn't matter the meat either because I didn't do a shechita on it. Elamai, it's still a limb of the mother, then let the chaylev be mutter, just like the chaylev is mutter if it's a ben tes meis. Right? What is this yisayit of a ben tes chai, and why is that enough gemina only for chaylev? So Taisus explains that in Ben Pakua there are two different dinim. There is a Svore Dikadin, and then there's a Gezeira Sakosov Dikadin. The Svore Dikadin is that as long as it's in the mother, it's called a limb of the mother, and it's Nitr Bishchita. That's a Svore. You don't need a Pusik for that. And that Svore applies until it's born. So even if it's a Ben Teschai, it'll be Nitr B'Shchita Sa'ei. But that Svara, not like you said, that Svara would only apply to the meat. That wouldn't apply to the Chaylev. Because even if you say it's Nitr B'Shchita, the Chaylev would be Aser. So the Chaylev is Mutter only Mikayach the Gezeiras HaKosov of Bivehema Teichelu, Bivehema. So Chazal understood that in the makam where the animal is ro'oi lotzeis, it's ready to be born, it's no longer considered to be within the category of bivehema. The point is, it's nitra b'shchita because enochinami, it's part of the mother l'gab b'shchita. But the gezeiras hakasav of chaylev doesn't apply. In other words, it's not bivehema teichelev. Right. So this turns out to be the halacha lemaisa. The halacha lemaisa is again Shulchan Aruch paskins this way that a ben tes chai, is niter b'shchita sa'aim, but the chaylev is usher, and presumably the gid hanasha is going to be usher as well. Okay, maybe we'll start from there. Okay.